Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
A lot of quarterback questions. We need some answers from and for. And this guy's obviously equipped to give them. Was a terrific college player at Notre Dame. Played in the NFL. And let's face it. I mean, you know, I'm not going to lie here, Teak. There's not many guys, when I flip on the tube, I'm like, oh, man, that guy's better looking than me. I just see this guy and I say, this guy's just flat out better looking than me. There's no way around it. He's yoked. I mean, he's got the chiseled face. He's a little younger. I mean, a guy's, I'm not going to lie, a little look envy on the part of Brady Quinn, who is part of the CBS crew, HQ, and all that he does. And he's been with us many times on the show. Brady, what's happening, buddy? How you doing today?
I'm doing well, staying safe. I appreciate the intro. I'm blushing right now. I'm not exactly sure how to take that. But I hope you guys are safe. Hope you guys are taking care of yourselves and obviously, you know, taking the proper precautions.
Yeah, we are. We're hanging in, brother. Appreciate you carving out some time. You know, if I was to ask you, which I'm about to, all right, Brady, who was more responsible for the Patriots' divorce? And I say that, let me just preface, because there are some thoughts that, you know, Tom may have preemptively tried to beat the Pats to the punch here because they're ready to move on. So, who was more responsible for the divorce? Was it Brady or was it the Pats and Belichick?
Well, I ultimately think it's Belichick. I mean, he's the head coach. I mean, you know, he's the one that's staying. And so I think the one that stays is usually the one that's ultimately responsible. And I go back to this. If you look at the personality of Bill Belichick, and his mentor was Bill Parcells. It's been widely documented, the two Bills, all that. We've all seen that. But just the decision of Bill Belichick when he left, you know, I think Parcells had other plans for him. He wanted to take over as the Jets head coach. Instead, you know, it was, you know, Bill Belichick who wanted to become the head coach for New England. And the interesting thing to me, and just looking at the difference between the two, is Bill Parcells had the ability, obviously, to push buttons, but he also knew when to kind of pull off. And Bill Belichick has always been the type of coach who wanted to treat everyone the same. You know, kind of push those buttons. But I also, I'm not sure if that kind of got to a point where it would just become wearing. I mean, two decades of the same thing over and over and over again, even with as much success as both experienced together, it would get wearing. It would get tiresome. And I think it started to show. And at this point in Tom Brady's career, I'm sure he thought to himself, I've accomplished all this with Bill Belichick. I'd love to see what it'd be like with another head coach who's going to appreciate me in a different way. And maybe it's not the same team meetings. That's not the same, you know, tongue lashing or whatever it may be, you know, sitting through all that. Like, I think, you know, a lot of players can speak to that, how sometimes that gets stale. And, you know, to think about all the success they had together, I think it goes back to probably Bill Belichick taking the same approach he always had since he's been a head coach. And it's probably ultimately to blame for the breakup.
Yeah, you know, and when you think about how many different ways you can talk this conversation, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots and who's going to be the backup, I guess the real question for you, because you obviously being under center and you have some experience with this, how does anybody replace that Tom Brady in New England? And what's the first step towards now being the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots? Because it's got to be daunting.
It's probably going to be one of the toughest things to do, right? Like, you're the guy after the greatest of all time. And I kind of look at it just going back to when Tom Brady got his shot. You know, he was replacing Drew Bledsoe, who a lot of people forget the Patriots were pretty darn bad before Bledsoe got there. And he really did help elevate that organization.
Yeah, they were in the Super Bowl the year before Tom won the Super Bowl.
And they lost to a really good Packers team led by Brett Favre.
That's right.
There was a ton of studs on that team. So who knows what things would have been like had Drew not gotten hurt. and would have, you know, continued to be the quarterback for New England. But if you go back and look at that team, you know, that team was built around their defense. They had a good running game. They had a good offensive line. They didn't ask Tom to do too much, but in those big moments when he had to, he delivered. And I think that's what this is going to come down to. Is this going to be more about the team and not so much about Tom Brady, whether it's Jarrett Stidham or another quarterback they would trade for, a sign, or even draft in this year's draft. It's going back to what it was when Tom Brady first got there. And it's going to be back to, you know, playing solid, sound football like they always have. But, you know, hoping that whoever that next guy is, he'll be able to deliver in those clutch moments. And they'll be able to obviously win enough games to give him a shot to go in the playoffs and see what they can do. But, yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter if you want to go through the early Super Bowls. I mean, no one picked him to beat the greatest show on turf. And I think we're kind of going back to square one with Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, where people aren't sure what to think of Jarrett Stidham or who the next quarterback's going to be. But I think he's built up enough equity for all of us to have confidence or faith in whatever decision Bill Belichick makes. It usually ends up working out.
There's no doubt. I used the exact same word, equity, earlier a couple times to describe, you know, their future, at least their short-term future moving forward. We're talking to our buddy Brady Quinn, CBS Sports HQ NFL analyst here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. I mean, Brady, it's my opinion, it's obviously a team like Cincinnati, obviously a team like Miami, those are teams that need to address their quarterback spot in the NFL draft coming up. I do think a team like the Chargers, despite their public marriage to Tyrod Taylor, they are too good on defense and had, I believe, too good of an offseason to go into training camp with Tyrod Taylor as the unquestioned number one. Number one, or firstly, do you agree with that? And if so, who should be the main target in terms of pursuing somebody to bring in to challenge him or eventually surpass him?
Well, let me just say this about Tyrod. Look, Tyrod's played some good football in his career. You know, he took a Bills team to the playoffs. They didn't win, but there's something to be said for that. And I think, you know, whether it's Tom Telesco or Anthony Lynn, I think they're speaking honestly that they probably feel like Tyrod Taylor can help them win some games with that defense and with everything they have there. But the problem is he's not going to be the long-term future. And that's why it's hard to think that when you're picking number six overall in the draft and you're in striking distance without really having to move around to get a Justin Herbert or a Jordan Love or who knows, maybe teams get scared off with whatever they find out from Tua Tagovailoa with his injury history and everything with that hip, or maybe just the lack of information altogether because, you know, people can't go out and visit right now and they can't bring him in for a physical. They can only base it off of what they saw at the combine. And so maybe one of those guys falls to you. You'd be hard-pressed not to take that guy at that point and then continue to build for the future. Because I do think, especially if Tua's there, based on the tape, you know, he might have the best body of work of all these quarterbacks. You know, Joe Burrow's got the best single season. But Tua Tagovailoa's got a really high floor. I mean, he's played some really good football this time on a huge stage the entire time. Herbert's continually gotten better and better and better every year. And he's got a lot of, you know, upside to him with this kind of strong arm, his athletic ability and all that. And Jordan Love has these special talents, but the problem is this past season was such a bad year in comparison to what he did in 2018 that it's hard not to look back and kind of ask yourself the question, okay, was it the coaching change? Was it the lack of offensive line or lack of talent around him? But you still see these special qualities. So, you know, any one of those three guys could end up going to the Chargers, and I think that will eventually be the plan. And unfortunately for Tyrod, it'll be much like Cleveland. He'll probably start for maybe a few games, and then that will run its course, and that rookie will get his chance to go start and play this year.
Yeah, no, and it's unfortunate for him, but that's just a lot he's going to keep finding himself in for the rest of his tenure, likely, in the National Football League. I may be wrong, but that's just what I feel. You said something interesting there about Tua and his high floor. You know, we usually talk about the ceilings and how good they can get. I don't think we ever really know that until they get into an NFL offense and either process it or don't or grow or don't. But the floor is an interesting one, especially when I look at some of the free agent or soon-to-be free agent quarterbacks that are leaving NFL teams. It's rare that this happens, Brady, and you know this as well as I do. If you're a consistent starter in the NFL, you don't ever hit the free agent market. We have that, though. Cam Newton likely will. Andy Dalton as well, after not being able to be traded. And now Jameis Winston. Of those three guys, it's perplexing that the market's slow for especially Jameis, but where does their floor? Because right? I think that's what people are looking at more than the ceiling.
Well, I think that's the hardest thing about Jameis Winston is, you know, he's got a floor that's pretty low, but his ceiling's really high too. And that becomes the difficult part of making a decision on him. Look, he's still in his prime. He's a young quarterback. He led the league in passing last year. He threw over 30 touchdown passes. Like, those are all things you can work with. And if he's not put in a position where he's got to claw back from games, maybe he cuts out of those interceptions. But the problem is he had about 8, 9, 10, something like that he threw in the first half, first quarter this year. And that you just can't do. You can't put your team behind like that, turn the football over early, and not even give yourself a chance to get a lead and control the game. So, you know, there's that. And I think the hard part about that, being that he's played 5 years now in the league, is that was the knock on him coming out of Florida State. And so if you haven't improved upon the knock on you and the one thing that everyone questioned when you came out, you know, given you were a Heisman Trophy winner and a national championship or national champion, you know, that's an issue. Like, you basically haven't evolved as a player. And so I think there's some concern there for teams. And look, there's just not enough spots for him. He probably is a candidate to go somewhere like New Orleans. Do the Teddy Bridgewater route. You know, go there for a year or two. Be the backup. Maybe Breeze gets hurt. You start for five games. You play well in a great system with even more talent now that they added Emmanuel Sanders. And then maybe in a year or two from now, either they offer you the job after Drew's done, or another team says, hey, you just went through the car wash. You look great now. Let's go ahead and sign you. So Jameis is a really, really intriguing, you know, prospect or you know, free agent to me. Cam's the other one that I look at and say, look, if he's healthy, I don't know how you don't give this guy an opportunity. The hard part is, like, if you were the Bears, if you bring in Cam Newton, like, he's not a guy who's going to be okay with being a backup. And so you're basically bringing him in to start, and you're saying you're done with Trubisky. Bringing in Foles was the best thing they could have done for Trubisky, because you already know from being in Philly, being in Jacksonville, like, Foles is going to be a good guy in the locker room and a good guy in that quarterback room. So even though he's threatening from his contract and what he's accomplished in the past, he still probably will end up being the backup, and Trubisky will start the year, and he falters. Ben Foles gets his chance. So, you know, when you look at all these different guys, like, it's just unfortunate there's not enough spots for these quarterbacks, and some of them are going to have to take contracts they don't like, and some of them may have to be a backup for a little while.
Brady, good stuff. Obviously, a lot of things to consider. Still fluid quarterback market. Appreciate you jumping in. Brady Quinn right there. Good work, man.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a great day.
You got it, buddy. Yep, back to you. Brady Quinn, CBS Sports HQ analyst.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.